And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide me, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
Hey, good morning. Do I owe you guys money? Good morning. It's, you know what? It's really not. It's like, so this morning I was thinking about the time change and I was like, man, I was praying. I was like, Lord, nobody's going to show up to church because we lose that hour. How many of you guys just went right into it this morning like it was nothing? Really? You guys are horrible. Yeah, it was insane for me because I get up at 5:30 on I get up at 5:30 pretty much anyway, but it's like, it was like 4:30 and I could totally feel it. I was like, I'm going to be late to church, or maybe I can call somebody to come fill in, but I'm so tired. Anyways, hey, it's good to see you guys this morning. We're going to open up in prayer. And we got a lot to be praying for. There's so many things going on. So many people are sick. We've had a lot of people that we love pass away. In fact, Todd this morning, bring that down for me. Todd this morning had, actually Michelle had sent me a text and said that they couldn't make it because Todd's brother had passed away unexpectedly, but not. He had cancer and anyways, they got the news today. And it's a reminder. Listen, all of this stuff is a reminder that we're citizens of another place. We belong to another system, another kingdom. And I was talking to our worship team about it this morning on how thankful I am for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because what he did is he died and rose again. And the implications of that are incredible. If you were to talk to your friend and they told you that they were going to die and rise again in 3 days, you'd be like, you're crazy. Because it's absolutely unheard of. It's absurd if it wasn't so true. And so in Christ we have our hope. This is just the beginning. For us, everything gets better from here on out. It doesn't get worse. It gets better because of Jesus. And so what Paul is doing, when we get into this book of Ephesians, he's showing us all these pictures of that to show us our richness, the riches that we have in Christ Jesus and the hope of a future in Christ. And so let's open up with prayer. We're going to pray over Todd and Michelle too this morning, that God gives them peace. We're going to pray for healing over Scott. Scott's out sick. He's got pneumonia or something. And so we want to pray for him to get better. And God, just to do a work in our church for those who are sick today and not feeling well and your body's busted down. Hey, let's go to the physician. What do you say? And this is a free walk-in clinic. Hello. Come on, let's give it to Jesus. Father, we love you. We come to you in your name, O King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we say, Father, we're here before you. As your kids, we need you. We need healing today. We need hope today. God, strengthen our faith today. Lord, we're praying for those who are going through a difficult time and losing loved ones, Father, and who are struggling and broken because of this world. But you've overcome the world. You've overcome death, resurrected, and ascended. And Father, so we come into your presence now in the name of Jesus, and we pray that as we come into your presence, Lord, you fill this house where two or more are gathered in your name. You're there in the midst of them, and we believe it, and we claim that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Ephesians, if you guys are new or this is your first week, we just started a series last week in the book of Ephesians. Paul's still in jail. If you were here when we were going through Philippians, he was in jail then, and he's still in jail now. This guy can't get a break. But you know what? As he looks around his circumstances, he's still filled with joy and expectation. It doesn't matter that he's locked up because his soul is free in Christ. And so he grabs pen and he grabs paper and he starts writing this stuff down that's in his heart, and he's just pouring it all out. And last week when he started, it was like that big run-on sentence. You remember what we were talking about, how it's the longest run-on sentence in the Bible? And it's bad English, but it's some good theology. Because when Paul started writing about the goodness and the greatness of God, it was like he couldn't stop. He couldn't shut up. And so he's just burning that pen. And he came across this one word that we were looking at last week called predestination. How many of you guys remember it? Election. Predestination. Meaning God knew what he was getting when he got you, before he got you. Pastor Luke and I, we went to lunch this last week. I don't want to tell you guys where. Some of you guys spotted us when we were having lunch. But we went to this place, and I told him, I said, I'm gonna buy your drink for you because I know you're broke. So I go and I said, get anything you want. And he's not broke. Don't you guys go telling him, Jason said you're poor and you need money. But I said, hey, I'm gonna hook you up. Get whatever you want. And I've been trying to diet. And he comes in there and he's like, yeah, I'll have the peanut butter chocolate banana smoothie. And I'm like, great, man. Like, what am I gonna get? I don't wanna sit there and watch you drink that. So I'm looking at anything I can get, hot water, tea, you know. And I'm like, you know what? And he's like, dude, just get it, just get it. Like, you talk about the guy leading you into temptation. And I'm like, okay, just give me the peanut butter, chocolate banana smoothie. And I paid 10 bucks for this. And I'm like, okay, that's okay. I'm like, you know, the company's decent. You know, I love Luke. We're gonna, you know, hang out a little bit. 10 bucks, that's fine. So we go and we sit down and we said, hey, can you bring it to us outside? Because we wanted to sit outside. And I kid you not, the guy comes out with our drinks that I paid 10 bucks for. And they're this big. They're this big. And I looked at that and I told the guy, I said, hey man, I'm a big boy. I can handle the rest. Like, go ahead and bring it. And then Luke's like, yeah, is that like the drink before the drinks or what? Like, that's it? And he's like, hey man, it's good though. You guys will enjoy it. It'll fill you up. And I'm like, I don't think so. So he's got these two pastors there just ripping on him about how small their servings are and how much they charge. And we're like, yeah, by the way, come to church. So anyways, but I was looking at it. I said, man, that is nuts. I said, I had no idea I was going to get that when I got it. And you know what Paul said? When it come to God choosing us, God knew what he was going to get before he got us. Is that crazy? He knew all your pride. He knew all your insecurities. He knew all your issues. And yet he said, I'm still wanting you. I still want you to come in. I still want you to know me. I want to pour out my love to you. God knew what he was getting when he got you. Does that blow you away, or do you think you're pretty good and he got a good deal? Huh? Did God get a good deal with you guys? Here's the thing about predestination. That word predestination that Paul was talking about, God choosing us. So you're in a season right now of change, aren't you? All of you. I am too, every one of us. You're young, you're growing up. You're older, you're slowing down. You're starting a family, your family's grown up and gone. You're working on a career, you're out of career. You're working on trying to heal your family. You're dealing with different stages in your life, whether you're young, insecure, or you're old and you're worried, older. And things have a way of changing. You're in a season of change. Did you know it? And in that season of change, it can cause you to be scared, anxious, angry, frustrated, depressed, because you're in a season that's of uncertainty. And so when we talk about predestination, we're talking about the reason why this is so important for us is because it gives meaning to us in our life. Predestination answers all those questions like, where are we going? What are we doing? What are we here for? And the bottom line of it is because God's got a plan for us. Do you believe it? Some of you? And predestination answers that question. That we're going to be with God, that he chose us. That he's got a plan for us. That no matter how hard life gets for us, no matter the battle, check it out, there's always blessing. You're chosen. You're elected. He's predestined you. And so when we're like, what is all this about? It gives meaning to life. You're for God. You're for eternity. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That blows my mind. And Paul's like, hey, listen, God's bigger than the battles. He loves you. And that's why he said in verse 13, let's check out verse 13. He says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Paul's like, you guys heard the word and it changed your world. Are you guys thankful for the Word of God? I am. This has changed my life like nothing could ever change my life. So what Paul's saying is you heard the Word and you trusted, meaning you couldn't trust unless you heard the what? Oh, what did Jesus say? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word works. Did you know it? So Luke and I were talking yesterday. You know, when pastors get together, we talk about stuff that would just bore you guys to death. We're talking about putting our sermons together and all this stuff. And we were talking about application and illustrations and stories, stuff like that. And he's getting ready to teach in the book of Revelation. We taught through it last year. So I was talking to him about it. And I said, dude, you're going to get into that book, and it's going to be a bag of cats. Like, I'm just giving you a heads up, it's going to be rough. And he has kind of gone through it a couple times before we were talking about it. And I was asking him, what are you going to do when you get to this one section? And he's like, you know, what would happen if we just got up and we gave the Word and we backed off and we said, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work out. What if God was bigger than our examples and our illustrations and our explanations? What if the Word just went out and we threw it out there and we just watched what God would do instead of coming up with all this stuff? And the Word is powerful. It's so strong. It's able to bring down the strongest of strongholds. The Bible, Jesus said the Word works. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to have faith, you know where you're going to get it? The Word of God. That tells me if you're here today and you've got a lack of faith or you're struggling, there's not a problem with the Lord. There's a problem with where you're listening and who you're listening to. By allowing so many things to creep into your head and to creep into our life and what we're watching on TV and what we're listening to on the radio, you know what? There's no wonder why when people get in a mess and they're like, I can't hear God. I don't know where He wants me to go. I don't know what He wants me to do. What have you been listening to? Who you've been going to? Where are you getting your information? And then the time you need to hear a word from the Lord and you're like, I can't hear nothing. I wonder why. Because God says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I want to ask you, are you getting into the Word? Are you spending time in the Scriptures? Are you meditating on what God's showing you? Or is it like an hour on Sunday, you do your deal and you're out? It'll never work for you like that. I'm just speaking to the one who's frustrated today about Jesus and Christianity. You're hearing the wrong things. God's saying, I gave you my Word. It's right here. Like, you can come and eat anytime you want. It's a free buffet. Come and get it. Paul says, after you heard the Word, you trusted. You trusted in Him. And you, of yourself, he says, you trusted the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So Paul just doesn't want them to understand that the Word works. He also wants them to understand that there's a spirit of promise on them, a seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, I like that because, see, they would seal up cargo when they would ship it across the sea. And when that would happen, the sea would toss the cargo, and sometimes they wouldn't know what belonged to who. Could you imagine that, getting your luggage all mixed up? Has that ever happened? You guys go to the airport, and you grab somebody else's stuff, and you're like, I'm out of here, and they're like, hey, you're ripping off my stuff. Well, on the cargo ships, they would stamp, this belongs to me, and it would be the seal. So through the tossing of seas, they would know who those things belong to. And what Paul's doing, he's using that picture. He's saying, hey, through the seas and the tossing and the turning of life, God owns you. He knows you. You're sealed. There might be things that get mixed up along the way, but guess what? At the end of the day, you know who you belong to? The one who sealed you. That's the picture. He sealed you, and He gave you a deposit. He said it was a guarantee of your inheritance. And that word guarantee means a deposit. A deposit on you. The Holy Spirit. Jesus gave his life for you, and then he put a deposit on your life. You know what you give a deposit on? Something you're coming back for. It's kind of like if you got, there's an inheritance there. And so it's like if you got adopted by Bill Gates, and he's like, hey, I'm giving you $100 billion. And you're like, man, thank you, Jesus. I always knew you were my daddy. And he goes, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it to you when you're 80. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. I'm already like 70. Like, $100 billion when I'm 80, or maybe you're 25. And so he goes, you know what? I'll tell you, instead of waiting till you're 80, I'm going to give you $10 billion right now. And when we came to Jesus, when we came to God, and we've got the inheritance set up for us that we're getting ready to go into, God said, not only did I buy you, but I'm giving you a deposit on you right now that you can spend, that you can enjoy, that you can be edified from, that you can have wisdom from, encouragement from, conviction from. And it's the Holy Spirit that every one of you who have been saved and gave your life to Jesus know you got inside of you. That spirit inside of us that we have, that's a deposit that God gave us. It said, hey, if I died for you, I'm coming back for you, and I'm going to put this inside of you. Man, how cool is that, that we have this Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, every one of us. Paul shows us that picture. God the Father called us, the Son died for us, and the Holy Spirit fills us up. And that's our deposit. That's how you know you're saved. Because you know what? People who aren't saved don't want to be here today. They'd rather sleep in. I don't blame them. They don't care about worship. They don't care about the word. They don't care about fellowship. They don't care about prayer. The simple fact that you guys are here, if you ever had a desire to be in this type of a situation for whatever reason, is saying, hey, God's put a seal on you. Normal people don't want this. It's us crazy Christians, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit, that want to be in the house of God today. That encourages me, because there was times in my life where I was like, man, I don't even know if I'm saved. You know, I had gone so far the other way so many different times, but there was always that coming back. Paul says that coming back is because you can't get away from him. When God gets a hold of you, there's no getting away from him. And so, up until this point, Paul's been talking to the Ephesians about God, but check this out. Now he's going to talk to God about the Ephesians. In chapter, in verse 15, this is kind of cool. So what we're seeing here is a prayer Paul's going into. He's praying now in verses 15 down through 17, and he's writing down his prayer. Do you guys ever do that? You ever write down your prayers? You got a prayer log, a prayer list, and you're marking stuff down that's important to you? I encourage you to do it. Vicky does it, and crossing stuff off when God answers it. But this is what Paul's prayer is. If you're ever wondering, man, Paul, when you pray, what are you praying for and what's it look like? This is what it is. He says, therefore, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. And I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Therefore, so now he's showing us, he's writing this prayer down, he's showing us what it is. He says, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. And right there, that's pretty impressive. Because it can be hard to just love your husband. It can be tough just to love your wife. It can be kind of tough to love those people around you that you're around all the time, your family members, and you guys know how we get, let alone other people that we're not always around all the time. And Paul says, listen, you guys have a love. You guys have a love for the saints. And I love this, because what he's been doing is he's been talking to them about God up until this point, right? Now he's talking to God about them. Now here's the thing about that. I started looking at that and I said, Paul, how come you're praying for them? I mean, they're doing good. They got love for the saints. They're getting along, which, you know, a lot of people don't get along. I just went to a convention and there was two guys at this Christian convention that were like in each other's face. And I was like, man, this is embarrassing, man. You guys should be like getting over it. So the love of the saints is like, it's not simple, is all I'm saying. And he says, hey, you guys got love and you got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm like, why are you praying for him, Paul? They're doing just fine. And see, in that is the problem. So many times we're praying for people who are fallen instead of praying for people who are already lifted up and doing well. Man, how many times do we pray for the backslider, the tempted, the depressed, the discouraged, the broken, the hurt? We do it all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for it, and we need to be doing it. But how many times do we hit the brake and say, hey, this person is blessed, and I'm still going to lift them up. I'm still going to pray over them. I'm still going to put a shield of protection around them. I want you to hedge them in, God. You know, the reason why he's telling them to do that, or Paul's doing that with them, and saying, hey, you guys are doing good, but I want you to do gooder. I want you to do better, and here's why. Because Satan is real. And as we get into this book, you're going to find out, Paul's going to be telling them, you're in a battle. And you need to put on the full armor of God. And why is he going to tell us that? Because he assumes that we're walking out the front door without it on. And so when he looks at his friends and he's like, you guys are doing great, but I want to lift you up. I want you to continue to do well. How many times, I wonder, if we started praying blessings on people who are already blessed, how much less they would fall. Pastors. You know, people look at pastors and they think, hey, you guys got it all figured out. We need prayer too. We need to uphold people who aren't just doing bad, but are doing good, and put a shield of protection around them. You know, the Chinese, they got this old ancient way of medicine that they would do, and it was so different than the way that we do stuff. They would go to the doctor all the time because it was like preventative maintenance type of a thing. So over there, they're always going to the doctor even when they're okay. You know, and some people here, we don't go to the doctor for nothing. Like Scott Warfield said, he's like, man, you go to Newport Hospital and then you're going straight to Bateman's. It's like, that's it. So we're like, I'm not going to the doctors. I'm not going to the hospital. I don't want to know. Like, I'm not going here. Ain't got nothing to do with this. But you know what? That's how we do stuff here in America. We go to the doctor when there's a problem, not before a problem. But what would happen if we started going to the Lord when things are doing good and we're doing great and the people around us and we're lifting them up instead before waiting before they're broke down? Because I'm going to tell you guys something. The devil doesn't care about the people who are already down. He's worried about the ones on the way up. They're down. We got to hold each other up. Say it with me. Hold each other up. Hold each other up. Because that's what Paul's doing. He's like, you guys are doing great, but you know, I want to make sure I got you in prayer. And by the way, we can always do better, amen? We're on this side of heaven, we still got some work to do. And so as he goes into this, he's going to show us what their issues are. Because they got some stuff they need to work through, just like you and I. And this is really going to hit us when we start seeing what he's praying for them for. He says to them in verse 16, he says that he didn't cease to give mention for them, didn't cease to give thanks for them, is what he said. I don't cease to give thanks. And I was like, really? Like, you never stop? You never quit? Like, think about going to work tomorrow, and you punch in, and you tell your boss, hey, you know what? I think today, I'm just going to pray today. I know you need me to go out and do this thing, but I'll tell you, I'm just going to pray. Or go to school and be like, yeah, I know we got to take this test, but you know, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray all day long. Paul says, I never cease to give thanks for you. How many times do we pray for people and we never seem to stop complaining about them? Paul says, I give thanks for you and I don't stop. When he said the word cease, it doesn't mean that he doesn't stop. It means that he stops to pray. That word there meant tickle in the throat. cease meant tickle in the throat. And so when you got the tickle in your throat, and so you walk in during your day and you're doing your thing and you walk. Have you guys ever done that? You know, it's itching. And then you get some people that got that nervous thing, you know, and they're just all the time, right? And Paul's like, that's what I, when I get this thing, I stop and I pray and I do it all the time, is what he's saying. So it's like he would be walking along his day, and you know how you clear your throat? He goes, wait a second. I'm going to clear my mind, and I'm going to pray for you. And then he goes on his day, and it's like he's got that thing in his throat. He's like, oh, wait a second. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to pray for you. And you know what? We got to pause and pray. Throughout your day, you can do this anywhere. Stop, pause, and pray. Pray over your family. Pray over your kids. Lift them up before the Lord. Lift up your friends and your family, whatever. It's like, and remember that. Oh, yeah. And clear your mind and pray for them. That's what he says. He says, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, here it comes. This is what he's praying. This is what he's praying for him for. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that's specific. We're going to close here in a second, but I want you, we're going to close out on this, but I want you guys to get this. This is specific. When Paul says, this is what I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's so important, because how many times do we just throw out a blanket prayer, if we pray at all? And Paul's like, no. When I speak, I need to be specific, because they're specifically going through something that they need resolve in. You know, there's things that we deal with, and they're specific to us, and they're individual to us. Not everybody deals with lust, but some people do. And you know how he knows what to pray for them for? Because he knows them and he loves them. And if you've got somebody in your life that you know and you love, you know what they need prayer for. You know it. Nobody else may know it, but you're connected to them in such a way, you know what they're going through. And if it is lust, then you're praying. You just don't pray, I hope they get over it. You say, God, guard their eyes. God, make them have a covenant on their heart with you where they settle the deal before they get there. So, and that means this, that God put it in their heart that they make a decision that when that time of lust or the time of temptation comes, that they settled it before that. And so when they got to that, there was no issue. God, you see what I'm saying? You're praying for them specifically. When somebody you love is dealing with depression, you just don't say, hey, God, you know, I hope you lift them up. You pray, God, they can't even get out of bed. Lord, they don't even want to go to work today. God, they don't want nobody coming over. They don't want nobody praying with them. They don't want nobody in their life. They can't get out of the house. They don't want to see nobody. God, they need hope. They need you to lift them up. They need you to put that hunger for people to come in and pray with them and have fellowship with them. Get specific when we speak. It's so important not to just throw out a blanket prayer. Paul's like, look, this is what you need, and we need it too. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's the thing about it. These guys could have passed a Bible exam. They could have gotten the top 10 a quiz up on knowledge of Bible. They knew the Word of God. But you know what was happening? Everything was kind of growing cold. Prayer was monotonous, lukewarm. Was just kind of church. Worship was just kind of worship. But they knew the Word. See, that's the thing. That's the problem. They knew. But the relationship was growing like ice. Like some marriages living like roommates instead of soulmates. Ice. And he goes, you know what? This is what you need. You need to get stoked up, and you need to not just know, but you need to experience, and that's wisdom. Because, see, knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is walking it out and actually doing it, right? So if you were to pray for anything over anybody, what would it be? For some of us, we're like, man, we just want their, we want healing, God. Heal their body. God, we want you to get them a house. We want you to provide for them. We want you to get their kids off of dope. We want you to get them off of dope. God, they need this. And Paul's like, I'm not praying for you to get off of meth. I'm not praying for you to get off booze. I'm not praying for you to get off the computer. He points him to something else. He says, wisdom and knowledge, and here's why. Because it's kind of like I was thinking about, you know, when you're driving a car, and I remember when I was first learning, and I was like in this big old boat car, and it had this, and it was like, man, I was all over the road. And my uncle's like, just keep your eyes like straight ahead. Because I'm like looking 2 feet down, and I'm just like everywhere. He's like, I'm telling you, man, you got to keep looking ahead. You got to keep looking ahead because you're all over the place. So when Paul says, I'm praying specifically for wisdom and knowledge, he's pointing us to God and he's saying, hey, listen, yeah, you might, your mind might be off getting on dope, getting off of dope. Yeah, your mind might be on all this stuff going on around you. But as long as you keep your eyes on that stuff, you stay in that stuff. Does that make sense? So he's like, hey, listen, hey, listen. Instead of getting your focus on that, how about you just start keeping this? And if you keep this, all this gets worked out. It just gets worked out. I'm not saying it happens tonight. It took you many years to get where you are at. And it takes some time to get out of that. But if you keep your eyes on above and the things of above, God will work that stuff out. That's what he's saying. He says, I'm praying for you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And by far, and as we close this out, check this out. By far, this is the number one question people come to me as a pastor and ask. Jason, I don't know what to do. I just don't know where to go. I don't know how I'm going to get through. I don't know where he wants me to be. This ain't it. I just know it. I don't know anything about it, and I'm confused, and I need help. Number one question I get all the time, don't know what to do, how to do it, where to go, how to get there. And you know what Paul says? That the answer is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, in the wisdom and knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. Because see, I found out, you know, when you guys were reading about Jesus and he was in the garden, and you remember it was before the crucifixion, and he was in the garden, he was praying, and he was going through a really hard time. I know you guys have, you know, maybe you owe in taxes, whatever. This is like big time bad. And he's sitting there, and you know what Jesus did in the garden when his life was about ready to end? In the most horrible way, it's not like you're getting shot. He got beat. Beard pulled out. Spear in his side. Whipped with those chains, those hooks that would pull out the flesh. He knew it before it was all happening. You know how he knew too? He read the book of Isaiah written 700 years before he was born. He saw his future, even from 8 years old, 10 years old. He read Isaiah. He is the Word. He knew it. And so he's in the garden, and he knows what's ahead of him. And he doesn't pray, Father, I don't know what to do. He says, if this is your will, first he's asking, hey, listen, if this can be done any other way, let's do that. And then you know what he says? He's like, let's do this. Let's do it. And you know what? 99% of the time in our life, church, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't do what we know what to do. We're not always, we got the answers. We just don't want to do them. This is the reality. At that convention yesterday, a guy came up to me. He found out I pastor this church. He goes, hey, so-and-so, you know, my name is this. And And he's like, you're the pastor at the Ark? I said, yeah. And we're talking, and he says, well, and he just comes out with this dumping. And I don't think this guy's from around here. None of us know him. But he goes, my wife left me 2 years ago. And I'm like, okay. And she put a restraining order against me. I'm like, okay. And she put a no contact order against me. And I'm like, all right. And then he goes like this. And then out of all of that stuff, then he goes to me. See you guys. Then after all of that stuff, he comes to me and he says, you know what? Now I'm living with my girlfriend in straight up sin. Exactly like that. He says, you know what? I try to be affectionate to her, and then she wants sex. And so we're living in sin. And then she hit me, cops come, and I got to, you know, I had to lift the restraining order off of her and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, we're at a conference for men to live like Jesus Christ, bro. And you just got done telling me you're living in sin? And I promise you, this is what I told him. I said, God's not going to bless this. What you're going to end up in is in a circular pattern where you're going to keep going through the same old trash you always go through. And here's why. Because you won't listen. And I said, you're going to end up right back where before. I said, man, I said, if you think God's going to bless us, you're nuts. And you know what he said to me? Hey, I wasn't expecting you to say that. What? What do you want me to tell you, man? Sleep with this chick, God's going to bless you because you're married in your heart. Continue to do your dope. Continue to run your game. Like, God's good with that? It's not that we don't know what to do. We're not always confused. But you know what? This is what we do. When we don't know what to do, you got to ask this question. What did Jesus do? When you don't know what to do, this is it. I'm ending my message right now. I promise the Lord. When you don't know what to do, you ask this question, what would Jesus do? What would he do? And you're like, well, Jesus wasn't raising my kid. Well, he's been raising you. When you look in the Word of God and you're searching the Scriptures, everything you're going through, everything you're dealing with, it's right there on how to deal with it. The problem is we're like, well, you think I'm going to be a theologian scholar and I'm supposed to know everything that Jesus did? Hey, you know what you do? You just start with the Bible and you open it up. And you spend some time. And you read and you learn. And God speaks into you. And he pours into you. And the next time, you know, I get it. Listen, I understand. When we're lonely, we don't want to be alone. And so when somebody comes around, it doesn't take much, and then there's this big old blowout. But you know what? If you're single, let's say you're a single woman, and you're tired of being alone, and some guy comes around, he's into witchcraft, guess what? That ain't the guy. But we want to listen to what the Word of God says. So we want to ask the question, what did Jesus do when he did it? So let's close out in prayer and listen. You guys stand with me. We're going to close out in one worship song this morning. I just want to pray over you guys today with someone who's really struggling. And you're here today and the fight's getting hard. God wants you to know that if you listen and see what Jesus did and you do that, he's going to empower you. He's already filled you. And he will strengthen you to get through it. And I want to tell you, someone who knows this personally, when we do what's right, it goes right. I'm telling you, this is, and this isn't some practical principle book like Dr. Phil or something. This is the Word of God that says, I have chosen you and I've sealed you and I've filled you with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to get you through it if you would just come to me and look to me as your example and trust in me and let that infilling and that indwelling of the Holy Spirit walk and live through you. We've got it in us. We just got to let it come out of us. But it is hard. We're on this side of heaven, right, church? We're on this side of heaven. But I'll tell you what, there's power. So if you're here today and I don't know, maybe you're going through a struggle and it's difficult, I want to encourage you. Keep your eyes on the things of above. I don't want to point you to all the wrong. You know what's bad. You know what's messed up. You know what's not working. God's speaking to you. Get your eyes off of that and get it onto Jesus. And He's going to work it out. Father, we love You and we come in Your presence today. You're so beautiful. You're so glorious, God. You're amazing. You change lives, Lord. Your word works. And I pray over our church, God. I pray, Father, for our struggles and our temptations, Lord. That You give us strength. Father, and I know as we're faithful and we're walking out what You've put in, Lord, obstacles, walls, barriers will fall, chains will come off, Lord. But we need You, Jesus. Father, and we're just going to praise You on credit for all that You're going to do as we surrender our life to You wholeheartedly. We give up, we surrender it to You, Father. And we know and we believe it in Jesus' name that from this point on, God, as we surrender our life totally to You, that You'll totally work it out for us. And if you're here this morning, you haven't made a decision. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart and you haven't given your life over to the King of Kings. This is your moment to get right, to square that up with Jesus Christ, to give your life to Him and say, I need You. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Though my sins were as scarlet, wash them clean as snow. I need a new beginning. And God says, I'll take that old heart of stone and give You one of flesh instead. So, Father, we just come into Your presence. We thank You for all that You've done. We thank You for what You're going to do. We thank You for life surrendering and submitting to You. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.